If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 388. This is our 2026 Valero Texas Open Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting previews for the Valero. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have TPC San Antonio Oaks course, strokes gained rankings, detailed course for player form and combi sheets, plus new and old predictor models for the PGA Tour action this week. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration required. On X, you can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. On Blue Sky, search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. If you are listening to this podcast, please press that like button. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. I've got great news. We have a review.
Very good.
This one is from Poanna Lover in the UK.
Good name.
And I thought so. Entitled, Stevie, Have My Children. 5 stars. Steve and the crew, I listened to the pod on Spotify, but felt compelled to leave an Apple review due to the unparalleled quality. I cannot tell you how much better you make my Tuesday afternoons. Truly exceptional insight. Please give us more agronomy chat. Forever bullish on Jacob the Bridge Bridgman, dark horse for Augusta. Cheers. From Poanna Lover. Well, thank you very much for that. To actually just open up your Apple app and send us that message, that 5-star review, is very, very sweet of you. So thank you for the time that you spent on that. Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thank you, Poanna Lover.
Now, I'm not going to ruin this, but we have also received another review, which I will read out. At the start of the Marches, the Masters even, research pod. But as it stands, if you send a review in this week, you will be read out for the biggest show of 2026, the Masters Tips podcast. So, Ireland, America, Canada, Australia, if you're listening, send us in a review. You've got an excellent chance of being read out at the start of the Masters podcast. Right, only one event this week, so we can have a little bit of chat about what we saw last week. There's only one place to start, really, isn't there? We did try and persuade you to put money on him, Barry. But no. But Gary Woodland's victory on the PGA Tour last week at the Houston Open was his fifth win of his career. And wait for this. And this is, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, was there? I don't think. It was his first win for 6¾ years. With all the trials and tribulations of him lifting that 2019 US Open title to actually winning in Houston. It was a perfect Memorial Park performance from Gary. He gained 50% of his, he's 54% of his strokes from tee to green. And as we said all along, bombers golf course, but you had to putt well. He gained 46% with the putter. What were your thoughts, gentlemen?
Go on, Barry, you go first.
Well, first of all, I don't like that you're using me to kind of mentally get over the fact that you called it and didn't back it yourselves. I've always said Gary owes me nothing, and there's no benefit, or well, sorry, there is a financial benefit, but continuing to back him is just not
90 to 1, Barry.
But it's not necessary for me. So if I back him and he doesn't win, it just slowly starts chipping away at that little, just that glow that I have about Gary Woodland. So I don't need to. If it was a one-horse race, then yeah, maybe, but just you guys called it. I'm happy just to let it happen and watch it and enjoy it, which I thoroughly did. I know from Paul telling me just before the call, a lot of listeners have reached out to you guys and said thank you for pointing them in direction of Gary Woodland. So that's brilliant. We've had a huge, I'd call that like a group win there, but you guys are clearly very bitter about saying it, and then it's kind of funny, but what a great performance. He's banging out.
It was a community win. Isn't it great when you get those community wins?
What, you're not on? Oh, dear.
That man's in his 40s, and he's absolutely like nuking golf balls in the 190s ball speed, and it doesn't look like he's coming out of his shoes to do it. It's unreal.
How much have you put on him for the Masters?
I will back him for the Masters.
Is that like a ledge where you can back him?
Yeah, maybe a major's only exception, or I don't know.
Well, I've got one of those rules. Don't ever back Adam Scott at a major. I think we saw why over the weekend at Houston. But yes.
You don't want to burn out in Houston if you're Adam Scott. You want to go back to Augusta now and pick up another title.
Is that for real?
Woodland for Augusta, she's won a Masters. Woodland
well, yeah, but it's about 78 years ago.
True. I remember losing, having him.
If Adam Scott wins the Masters, there will have to be some penance for Steve.
Adam Scott is, yeah, okay, I'm fine with figuring that out. We can crowdsource from the listeners.
The word, the important word in there is win.
Right.
Not place, win. Mm. No, not finished 12th. He's 80 to 1 right now with Bet Victor, Adam Scott. I'm searching for Gary Woodland.
I'm searching down.
He's 100 to 1.
Yeah. I can see Gary. Go on, Barry.
Sorry, I do remember his name popping up on Masters leaderboards before. We'll have to check a bit deeper as to how good it was. But look, he's got the distance to make that course very, very short and hit a lot of wedges in, putting well. Mm. So, give me a worse bet at that price.
No, I get it. Going in with some momentum. I wouldn't be surprised to see him start well. I could see him potentially in the first round leader market, depending on where he gets where he gets his tee time. Disappointing to miss it last week because there were enough signs, there were enough clues, there were enough people on him. And to your point, Barry, a number of I could see from social media how many people had backed him generally from yesterday. But yeah, we've had tweets and emails over the last couple of days with people who backed him jubilantly telling us that they'd backed him based on some of the conversations that we'd had and, we'd failed to actually get to the same endpoint. I was frustrated with it because he was so popular in the early markets and I've seen tickets up to 125 to 1, so they must have been super early. But yeah, generally kind of 90s by the time Steve was going to press on Monday afternoon, and then when Scotty Scheffler pulled out, of course he was getting chopped even further. I saw tickets down in the kind of 60-70 to 1 bracket. So yeah, that kind of I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just price, pride, as you describe it, Barry. And when someone's been cut that much, it just annoys me. And I didn't get that.
having too much data is the problem, Paul. So you can see where the price is at, and that just, it's a killer when you see it. But we're so, there's so often we can go on the other side and you get your, you know, you've got the price advantage because you get the, you get your bet in and the market moves and you feel really good about it and then it doesn't win anyway.
So, what we need to start doing is putting our tips out on Twitter and then recording a podcast just as the markets are opening.
Yeah, that's it. Get out about 10 past 11 on a Monday and just a list of names and away you go.
Sit back and relax for the rest of the week.
Yeah. But like back to Gary, you know, for him to go through what he's gone through, to open up as he did about his PTSD, only in the last couple of weeks or so, wasn't it? It just feels like that getting that off his chest has freed him up, and you know, it was a great fit for Memorial Park anyway. So, it all aligned.
That's what people picked up on, though. That's that strokes gained mental game that we always say, and that being able to just unload that burden from his shoulders and boom, there you go. Well, a couple of weeks later, freedom, just annihilated it. It's great.
Yeah. It's stating the obvious, but Gary Woodland's game transfers to majors. And if it isn't the Masters, it certainly translates to the PGA Championship, you know, a golf course where you can literally overpower it with power.
Yeah.
I wrote about that the other day. Eronimink.
Yep.
They're extending it to 7,500 yards, but it's a par 70. Bent grass greens. So, yep, I could see Gary getting involved in something like that. Just out of interest, last week's predictor model that we put together, Minwoo Lee was one. We had Sudarshan Yella, big Yella. Sudarshan Yella Miraju. He was third in the predictor model. Gary Woodland was four. Chris Gotterup, seven. And Jake Knapp was eight. I believe they filled each way places and, of course, snared the winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
this is one of those tournaments where the statistically, if, you just got to go down the big hitter route. And despite everything else kind of trying to lure you into a different style of bet, just your starting point needs to be who hits it a long way and work from there.
Outright power.
Mm. Well done on that. He came through and snuck you a bit of a place at the end, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't like this Teal Bjornsson. Now, I'm not saying anything out of the ordinary here because lots of people have backed him and lots of people have seen him melt on a Sunday, but he's absolutely useless on a Sunday. I mean, he was five shots back. He was never going to win that tournament, and he still goes backwards. It's like, whoa. I think he's fourth bottom of final round scoring on the PGA Tour this year. So when we're going to be chasing him at 20-1 to win small tournaments throughout the rest of the year, it could be a painful ride.
Yeah, he needs to get his head around that. And again, it may just be a mental thing where he...
Clearly it'll come.
Yeah,
he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments, but it could be painful waiting for the first one. We've been here before, Cam Young. Four players were included in the Masters at the end of the Houston Open. Top 50 in the world. This is over and above Gary Woodland, of course. Those players are Daniel Berger, Nikolai Højgaard, who we haven't mentioned yet. Excellent performance. He went into that, I believe, in 47th spot in the world rankings, has now jumped into the 30s. Jake Knapp. And one that snuck in very early in the year. I think he was second at the Amex. Matt McCarty. Who actually, from memory, finished top 20 at Augusta on his debut last year.
Yeah, he did do well.
Yeah. So Berger, Højgaard of the Nikolai variety, Jake Knapp, Matt McCarty, they are in next week's field. Now, by my reckoning, that means that only one other additional player will feature, and that would be the winner of this week, unless they're already in the field, naturally.
Hmm.
What happened in India, Paul?
Yeah, carnage, as always. That course is it's just mad, isn't it? It can be exhilarating to watch, but incredibly frustrating when one of your players gets onto any kind of run and then just throws in a random triple. Well, not even a random triple, just a triple. But yeah, fantastic couple of weeks for the Fitzpatricks, wasn't it? With Matt winning the Valspar a couple of weeks ago after that near miss at TPC Sawgrass, and then little brother Alex won his first DP World Tour title in good fashion in the end, hunted down Eugenio Chakara, who I'd backed the previous week. Chakara had a 4-shot lead, but Alex hunted him down and won it with a little bit of room to spare in the end. But that course is just unforgiving. And as soon as it started going wrong for Chakara, that was it. He there was no coming back from it. Eight birdies in the final day for Alex on that course is pretty damn impressive. But yeah, again, there were signs. He topped the greens in regulation stack in Joburg on his previous start. So, he was gettable. Gary was gettable. So it does feel a little bit like a week that's slipped through the fingers. But look, I know that plenty of punters bought on either or potentially both last week. So very well done if you walked out with a winner last week.
It's early doors. Bear in mind, it's March.
Hmm.
Reed Shaper, Casey Jarvis. I was doing some early Augusta form work yesterday, and Casey Jarvis, I think, was second for strokes gained current form in the whole of the Masters field.
Hmm.
Now, of course, I'm hearing people scream that he only plays DP World Tour, but Andy Sullivan, 4. Dan Bradbury, 5. Alex Fitzpatrick up to 6. We could have a Fitzpatrick double on the PGA Tour next year.
Yeah.
Julien Gerlier. How did you find that one? He's at 7. Callum Hill. Daniel Hillier. David Puig. Now, Puig, isn't he a member of LIV?
Puig. Yes.
Puig. 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 So throw in Henry Duplessis.
Mm.
He's 11th currently. Early days. But, yes. Fitzpatrick. We could have two Fitzpatricks on the PGA Tour next year.
Yeah.
I think the Americans would love that. I could see Alex getting like 95 sponsor invites to every tournament so that both Fitzpatrick boys are in the tournament.
Well, you'd imagine they'll play together in the pairs tournament in a few weeks' time.
Mm.
And
is that the one the Højgaard brothers are going to win?
Well, yeah, it could come down to those two. I know it can be quite.
Could
see
that, couldn't
you,
in a playoff?
But yeah, the way that the Fitz boys are playing, they're going to be pretty short priced to go and win that. And should that happen, then as I understand it, Alex will get a PGA Tour card anyway.
Paul said to me yesterday, Monday, he said, Højgaard's going to win soon, Nikolai. Mm. And I said, we've just got to pick the right course. And we both said at the same time, the Zurich Classic Team event. The one that we don't actually cover.
Mm. Well, look, it's not a particularly a betting event certainly not for me, certainly not for you. And it's kind of a week off for a lot of punters because of the nature of the event. But for some of these players, it is a huge opportunity. And if they can realise the form that they're running with, they're running hot into that, then it can be a big opportunity. I'm sure Alex will see it as a big opportunity.
Great example last year, Ben Griffin won that with Andrew Novak. And then what happened to Ben Griffin? Before you know it, he's playing in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul, mention the Bet365, or take the listeners quickly through that Bet365 majors competition, because we're getting very, very close to entries or entry closure.
Mm. Well, we are, and the entries are coming through thick and fast. They've been flooding in overnight alongside all of the jubilant Gary Woodland comments. So thanks for your entries. But yes, please take a look at the rules, which I'm sure Steve will post into the podcast description. But essentially, we want a name for the Masters, a name for the PGA, a name for the US Open, a name for the Open Championship. Four different names, one and done, effectively. And what we'll do is we'll collate a leaderboard of all of the entries from everyone across the globe, and we'll allocate the dollar earnings as points for the four players that you select for their respective majors, create an overall big leaderboard, and the winner will win £150 or currency equivalent, second place £75, third place £25, again, or currency equivalent. And which will be paid at the end of the Open Championship in July. Great bit of fun, free to enter. Bet365 are sponsoring, so many thanks to those guys once again. And really popular competition. You can enter via Facebook. There's a thread. So if you go onto Facebook, if you're on the group, you can see what everyone else has selected, which is a nice little way to get some inspiration, potentially. Or you can tweet us, or you can send us a message through Blue Sky, or send us an email. Lots of ways to enter. So get involved, please. Free to enter.
Get your entries in. Yes, have you got an entry, Barry? Have you entered already? Or
I always wait until the last moment for maximum
information. Is that the strategy?
Yes. No,
obviously not, because I've never even sniffed coming here at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's same not here. Easy, is it? To that point, the entries close at the first tee time at Augusta next Thursday. So get your entries in as soon as you can, please. But yes, be nice
so
to...
So Thursday lunchtime, Europe time.
Yes.
Clearly early in the morning, US time, or North America time. Let's make it ridiculously complicatedly clear. Valero Texas Open. No one cares, really. We just want to be there, but let's go through it anyway. It's a very good field, I have to say. But me being as obtuse as ever, I've gone to the bottom of the betting. And there's some cracking names here. Some lesser spotted, Ryan Palmer plays this week. The lesser spotted, Jimmy Walker, and respect for Jimmy, one of my favourite players. I can remember with Jimmy Walker many, many years ago, I was on board his first ever PGA Tour victory, which I believe was at Cordial in California. Jimmy plays. Fantastic goal for Jimmy Walker, PGA champion, of course. We've got Camilo Villegas playing. A lesser spotted. He's on the major medical exemption list at the moment. Brendan Todd. Those are the kind of players we've got in this field at the bottom. And I think you just need to bear that in mind, potentially, with some of the prices that we're seeing towards the top of the betting market. Fleetwood plays. Oberg plays. Amazingly enough, Russell Henley's getting backed off the boards, my favourite player. Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa, after his back issues at the Players. Robert McIntyre. I'll be fascinated to know if either of you have gone for Siwoo Kim this week, because I haven't. Hideki Matsuyama. It's like there's a list here of players we've backed this year and they haven't won. Sepp Straka's on there as well. Throw him into the mix. Maverick McNealy. And then we get to a very emotional name, potentially. He has to win this week to get into the Masters. Ricky Fowler. Supported by Teal Bjornsson. Don't back him on Sunday. Alex Noren, Keith Mitchell, Daniel Berger, Rio Hitsasuni, Denny McCarthy, Johnny Keefe. It's a good field. It's an excellent field. Oh, I forgot JJ Spawn, who's hidden away in this betting market as well. He's literally below Johnny Keefe and just above Bjørn Olsen in the betting. JJ Spawn, who is a previous winner around here. And that tells you quite a lot, I think. If you actually look at the list of winners of this, they seem to me to pretty much all sit in the same kind of window of player for me. Brian Harman last year. Akshay Bhatia. Might be a little bit left field, but kind of fits. Corey Connors is a two-time winner here. I was just looking for his name in the field on Saturday and it didn't arrive, which I was kind of shocked because Corey Connors always goes off about 12 to 1 for this. Bearing in mind, he's only won twice on the PGA Tour, both of them here. JJ Spawn took out his maiden title in 2022. Jordan Spieth in 2021. And Andrew Landry, of all people, in 2018. That, to me, shouts kind of nuggety, sort of nuggety positional kind of players. Just looking at that. They're not the longer hitters in the main. Just people that can navigate their way round here. The course itself, Oaks Course, TPC San Antonio. It's a Greg Norman design. What's ever happened to Greg? You don't see him on LIV anymore, do you? He seems to be... he's disappeared off the LIV schedule. It's a medium-length golf course, 7,438 yards. It's in Texas. The wind howls when it decides to. And the level of the scoring tends to link into, very, very Lynx golf-like, the scoring levels depend on how hard that wind blows. I'm just opening up my weather app as we talk for San Antonio International Airport. Sunday looks interesting. I'm seeing wind speeds of gusting 30 miles an hour from the north. Now, bear that in mind. That was kind of the winds that we saw here 12 months ago when Brian Harman shot three over on Sunday and still won by a number of shots because he'd built up such a lovely buffer. Wind also looks like it will be a factor on Friday, with gusts from the southeast of approaching 25 miles an hour throughout the whole day. I've seen rain in the forecast as well. So it looks like it's going to be like four seasons in one golf tournament. The other thing I did notice was warm Thursday, very warm Friday, 31 degrees Celsius, 27 degrees on Saturday, and then it plummets to sort of, it's actually warmed up slightly from yesterday when I looked. It's warmed up to about 17 degrees Celsius, but there's quite a big gap of 14, 15 degrees between Friday and Sunday. There must be a front going over the course on Sunday with those tremendously strong winds.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about the agronomy, and that is not going to sit well with Poana lover. So, fairways of perennial ryegrass, and I love this one, chewing fescue this week. A bit of chewing fescue. The rough, ryegrass, and chewing fescue. One thing to note this year, chaps, where the rough tends to be around about 2, 2.25 inches here, they've decided to lengthen it this week. It's now being quoted as 3 inches and above. The other thing to note here is, compared to last week at Memorial Park, the Oaks course, 25 to 30 yard wide landing areas on fairways. No, just looking at recent stop-offs, that's pretty much what we see at Sawgrass. So it's pretty tight here. It's not copperhead tight, but it's tight. Lots of dog legs and lots of encroaching trees here. I mean, first is a great example. It's a dog leg right to left. And if you hit it on the right side of the fairway, there is a huge tree that encroaches and takes away about a third of the fairway for access to the green. It just overhangs. So lots of that going on here. It really is quite a positional golf course, in my opinion. But yes, I could see this. Look at, I mean, that forecast is all over the place. I don't see it being what we saw last year, 9-under winning, you know, proper technical scoring golf tournament. But then I don't see it being 20-under where Akshay won in 2024. I could see it being that Corey Connors level of 23, about 15-under.
Yeah.
From a strokes game perspective, this... I heard a lot yet last week about Houston and Memorial Park being the perfect warm-up for Augusta, and I get that. And you've seen Scheffler play there in recent years. Rory played there as his warm-up last year. But from a strokes game perspective, this week is so... I wouldn't say... It's pretty unique on the tour. I'm just looking here at this per round... strokes gained of winners here. Recent winners going back to, let's have a look, Jordan Spieth's victory. Off the tee, 0.6 of a stroke. This is the number. Approach, 1.71 strokes per round required to win this golf tournament. That, the only other tournament so far this year that reaches those extreme levels is Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance Open. This number's huge as well. 0.85 strokes gained around the greens required to win around here. So if you're one of these guys that struggles consistently around the greens, cannot chip the ball, you're struggling here. And I think a lot of that has to do with, if this is a very windy renewal, even the best players are struggling to hit 70% of greens. So overall, that pans out at 3.14 strokes per round required tee to green, 0.84 with the putter. Put that into context, when I look at Houston last week, 1.93 tee to green, 1.92 with the putter. So we don't... Team no putt can work this week, but they have to be absolutely pristine from tee to green, and their approach play has to be absolutely world class. Now, I can compare that to the Masters next week. 0.95 off the tee, 1.44 on approach, 1.28 around the greens. Remember that, chaps. Next week, 1.28 strokes of the winners of that title recently, the green jacket, they've gained that around the greens, and that equates to a massive 3.66 strokes tee to green at Augusta. The putter, 0.32 per round. So it's a these next 2 weeks are absolute tee to green feasts, they really are. Statistically for San Antonio, it works out 81% of strokes required to win, tee to green, the rest with the putter, 22%. That's mad. So I'm looking for players this week who are clearly golfing their ball particularly well at the moment, heading in. Saying that, you wouldn't have picked out Brian Harman last year. The other thing I have noted here, and this, you know, Barry has encouraged me over 6 months, and he's absolutely spot on, data golf rankings. These are the data golf rankings of Valero Texas Open winners recently, and I think it tells a story. Harman, 86, Bhatia, 73, Connors, 40, Spawn, 100, Spieth, 41. So no one south of data golf ranking of 40th place has won this across the last five renewals. So that says to me, not the top boys who have all of their focus on next week at Augusta, but those are level below, who can actually see this week as a real opportunity to beat up Jimmy Walker, Brendan Todd and Ryan Palmer and lift themselves a trophy. I've selected on that basis. How many did I go for in the end? I think it was five. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. I'll start at the top. He has five Bermuda Grass wins, which puts him joint top in this field with Hideki Matsuyama. I was cursing him in last week's podcast, saying that the bloke cannot finish rounds of golf. But inevitably, I just kept circling back to Jordan Spieth winning this week. There was a lot of early action on him, weren't there, Paul? Because I literally, on first show, Monday morning, first show, I saw 20 to 1 about him.
Yeah.
And that disappeared rather quickly.
Yeah.
So I managed to get 2.5 points each way at 16 to 1 with Betfred, 8 places each way on Jordan Spieth. Last time out at the Valspar, and these are the numbers I found particularly interesting. He was 5th for greens in reg, 5th for total driving, 3rd for ball striking. Yeah, you heard that right. Jordan Spieth was 3rd for ball striking last time out. Last year here, because I can hear people saying, yeah, but trouble with Jordan is he doesn't find any fairways. Last time here, last year, 2nd for driving accuracy. Yeah, you heard that right. 1st for total driving, 11th for ball striking, and he was 1st for all round on this golf course. And Paul pulls together these fantastic, and I don't know, if you're listening to this and you haven't visited that golf betting system as a site, come and have a look. It's all completely free of charge, of course. No registration required. Just come onto the home page. You'll see under Valero Texas Open, strokes gained stats. Paul literally spends his life pulling these numbers together. And all I can see glaring at the top of this whole list, bearing in mind he's played 20 competitive rounds here, which is a huge number. Jordan Spieth, he gains 2 strokes per round around here, total, at the Oaks course, which ranks him number one. Above the likes of Denny McCarthy, Chan Kim, Thorbjørn Olsen and Sami Välimäki. Bear in mind, Sami's only played here once. The other player that's played a hell of a lot here that you can see it towards the top, Lucas Glover, Gary Woodland, who isn't playing now, and of course, Charlie Hoffman, who is the San Antonio Meister. He loves it around here, does Charlie?
Mm.
So I'm on Spieth. I just... If there was another Gary Woodland week this week for me, and you look at these things and it's just so bleeding obvious, but you just ignore it. If that was Jordan this week, I think I would literally jump off the top of my house and probably not be available to write my tips preview for next week.
Yeah, not ideal.
So when Jordan finishes tied 11th, I'll remember this conversation. It's like therapy. We said this last week.
Mm.
So I'm on Spieth at 16 to 1. Now, it'd be interesting where you boys come in because it's a great betting heat. Some big, big names, but some quite skinny hold-your-nose prices. So, Paul, let me come to you first. I doubt if you're on Russell Henley, so we're on the same side there. Where are you coming in this week?
Yeah, I'm not on Russell Henley this week. I've got one at 20s and then 20, 40, 70-ish and 150. So, a spread this week.
What about you, Baron?
Spieth is interesting, so I'll contemplate that. It kind of is there in my head. I have one of the same of yours, Steve. He's been playing pretty awesome recently. I'll let you dig into it, though. It's Hizatsune.
Eh? When I dig around this, there is definitely something in here around two key statistics season to date. One is a really old statistic that a lot of people will completely ignore because it's old-fashioned and, you know, it's the kind of stat that someone that's 53 like myself would look at. And that stat is greens in regulation. Because if there's one thing Brian Harman was doing last year relative to his strokes gain numbers, which were pants, he was still hitting a lot of greens season to date before taking this out. The other stat that seems to be absolutely key and critical, well, it has been on recent renewals, is the distance from edge of fairway statistic. And just giving you an example of that, Brian Harman was 11th in that stat arriving at San Antonio. Akshay Bhatia was in the top 40. And Corey Connors was 5th. So distance from edge of fairways. We want straight hitters. And that kind of works here because I always hark back to the year here, many, many years ago, when I put up Kevin Na. And there's that absolutely famous piece of film where Kevin Na is in the most ridiculously dense bush that you've ever seen in your life. And he's trying to hack out. And I hear stuff, the rough here is not very long. But there is so much trouble off the fairway here. Sand, rocks, all manner of, what's the word I'm looking for? Scrub. You don't want to be veering wildly off fairways here because you're going to get, at some point, a big number. Now, circling round to Hisatsune, he sits in the top 5 on tour for greens in regulation. And he's also absolutely iron straight off the tee. So I am on Hisatsune as well. 1.5 points each way. I got 35-1. I must say, Paul, this week, Betfred, their prices across their extended place markets were very, very good.
Yeah.
So just bear that in mind. If you haven't got a Betfred account, you can open up one via Golf Betting System. It's a bet 10, get £50 in free bets offer. But I always wait for my preview to be released. And Paul will back me up. I don't put my preview out until Betfred have released their prices. But this week, what did we get? We got Berger on Betfred. We got Spieth on Betfred. Hisatsune. I think 4 of my 5 were on Betfred, 8 places each way.
Yeah, they were very good.
That's my reasoning behind the Japanese number 2, Barry. Hits plenty of greens and is iron straight off the tee. I'd put him in that nuggety category. You know what I mean? Nuggety.
Fingers crossed.
What's his data golf ranking? I'll have a look. I believe it's kind of where you'd want it to be. He's
58.
There you go.
He's in that, he's in that zone that just trends for this tournament.
You literally look at the top boys, don't you? Go, oh, Ludvig Åberg, he could rip this course apart. And Colin Morikawa, this course is made for him, which it is. Iron straight, hits lots of greens. But I always try and go to that underbelly of players. I mean, Hisatsune is not even in the Masters field next week. He got not a concern in the world about next week.
No, the top of the market guys, there's like you can tell me all you like or protest that you're fully focused on this week, but you know there's something in your brain saying get the game sharp for next week. Don't burn yourself out too much. If you accidentally fall into a situation where you could win this tournament, great, but that's those little kind of the distraction of the Masters has to take away from the guys at the top of the market.
I'm hoping. I'm not sure about Paul, though. He's got a 20-1 chance.
Yeah.
That's not quite the top, but sorry, yeah, Paul.
Pretty close, yeah.
That's not to say none of them could go and do it, of course. But
there is this, that, well, you've got to consider it, haven't you? There's the whole narrative about, and a lot of, I forget, I think there was a number in your preview, Steve, or you alluded to it, where players who haven't already got an Augusta National invite have won a disproportionate number of these events over the years. And that makes a level of sense, because you've got both aspects in play here. One where someone who isn't already in the field can win and get themselves into the Masters field for the following week. And the second aspect is the players who are here who already have a berth for next week may just be sharpening their tools rather than going all out for the win. So I do think you've got to consider both aspects. I backed Bob McIntyre at the Players, and I mean, he had a squeak coming onto the back nine. It didn't quite work out, as with many of those players who you could have seen going and posting a decent back nine and winning the tournament. He made a couple of mistakes too many coming home and finished fourth in the end. But I have kept the faith with him. And the reason for that is, if you look back at the last two wins he has had, well, the two wins he's had on the PGA Tour, they were the Canadian Open, which was his last start before the US Open a couple of years ago. And then he won the Scottish Open, which was the week before the Open Championship that year. So a player who has proven twice in the recent past that he can and does lift his game just before a major championship, and is playing some great golf coming into this event. It felt to me, if there was a player out of that top contingent who might go and take this and win the tournament, it may well be Bob. You know, you've got the likes of Tommy and Ludwig. Both of them will fancy their chances for next week. I can see the case for Spieth because of the performances he's had around here. As you said, Steve, Russell Henley's getting backed off the boards, but I can't go near that 16 to 1.
That's why you and me get on, Paul.
I just can't do it. So yeah, the one I have backed is Bob. He was 35th here back in 2022. That's the only time he's played. He was 10th to halfway that year. So has, you know, a little bit of sneaky under the radar form here. Different animal nowadays. 4 years on, Bob's a different beast. So I have backed him, and I'll be fascinated to see how he goes and see if he can have another one of these spiky weeks just before a major championship.
20 to 1 hanging there at the moment with Bet365. So yes, McIntyre. No Siwoo Kim interest from either of you, no?
No, not for me. Not for me.
Barry?
No.
Okay. No Sepp Straka?
Oh, he's a little bit short again, isn't he? 20-25s thereabouts.
20s even.
Is he a world top 10 player?
Well, yeah.
He's priced as a top 10 player in the world.
Yeah, well, he's 12th in the world rankings and he's 28th in data golf, so what's going on there?
There's a gap there, isn't there? Well, as we say, you need to be super consistent for data golf, don't you? Seb does have the odd miss cut in him.
Here you go, Steve. You love this. Ricky Fowler is 25th in data golf rankings and 65th in OWGR. So data golf have Ricky Fowler as a better player than Sepp Straka right now.
I can hear the listeners. They're up there shouting. Have you got any interest? You are the Fowler whisperer. Clearly, you're the Gary whisperer. Any interest?
I'm not backing Ricky this week, no.
You're not, no.
Aren't Ricky and Gary good mates? Or did I just dream that? I wonder if there's a little bit of a kind of...
Fine, I'll throw 20 points on it, Paul, okay?
I don't. We're just talking ourselves in and out.
If Ricky won this to get into the Masters as the last player in, I genuinely think that the golf betting and golf community would just have some kind of trembling fit. And I mean, if last week was emotional, this week would be just super emotional.
Well, hang on. What has Ricky struggled with that Gary has? Or even close to it?
Well, I just think with Ricky, he's such a popular player and he just doesn't win a great deal. And he doesn't win from year to year to year. So, and also, you just expect Ricky, and this is just the sentimental nature of golf fans. Mm. They expect Ricky to be at the Masters every year. You just think Ricky's there, don't you? But as it stands, he's not.
He's playing very good golf, but
yeah. He is.
It's almost like it's gone very consistent, which is a really good thing. But do you want it to be a little bit more spiky so he goes and grabs that win? So is he at this consolidation point where he's getting, you know, just looking at his recent results here, 18th, 18th, 19th, 28th, 9th, 42nd, and then a missed cut last week. So does he kind of now use that platform of really good, consistent golf to then just jump that level 1 week? And, that's the question. But hitting 18th and 19th all week long, that'll just get your card, but doesn't get him what he craves and needs.
In the old days, of course, with Ricky, he would finish 9th, finish 7th, finish 5th, finish 2nd, and then win.
At 12 to 1.
At 14 to 1. We talk about biorhythms, we talk about trends and whatever. The reason Robert McIntyre is so interesting this week is because he does win the week before or the outing before a major. So I can see Paul's logic on that one. I really can. To see Ricky, who tends to have 17 T10 contending performances before getting over the line, taking this out when he hasn't even had a top 10, I find that a far stretch at his price. But then who am I to say anything? I'm on Daniel Berger, so I think Berger's over the years has come very, you know, I've got a hang-up with Berger. You all know I've got a hang-up with Keegan Bradley. I don't know how Keegan Bradley's missed out on my post-it note of doom over the years, but he's still not on it.
Yeah, immune.
But Berger, again, if you're just working on the premise of nuggety, hits a lot of greens straight off the tee, and I think there's going to be a bit of chaos this week. I hark back to Berger going head-to-head with Harrington at PGA National years and years and years ago when it was windy and hard and tough. I could see Berger winning this the week before the Masters and you'd be like, yeah, we've been waiting for this win. And he was very, very close at Bay Hill. He was leading that tournament, was it 71 holes? And Akshay came and took it. So, yeah, I'm on Berger. I just think it's a good course for him. He's clearly trending towards a win. And again, it would kick me in the teeth if he took this out and I wasn't on him. Because I have backed him this year. From a data golf perspective, Barry, he's 52nd in the rankings. So it's at that. He's at that kind of level that I'm thinking someone around here might take this out. So I've got Hitsatsuni, Berger, Spieth to this point. The one that really caught my attention last week on a golf course that doesn't suit him at all, and when there is carnage we've seen over the years, and when I say carnage, I'm not suggesting this is going to be 5-under par wins this, but there's definitely weather in this tournament. Denny McCarthy, he does pop up fairly regularly on technical to low mid-score tests where there's wind, where there's firmness in the course, potentially. I mean, he's finished 7th in the US Open, and last year he was 8th at Quail Hollow in the PGA Championship, and that played really, really firm and fast towards the end of the tournament. As we know with Denny, awesome putter. Superb short game. But the thing that McCarthy's actually been doing well this year isn't putting, and that's what's held him back. It's actually been his tee to green game, which has really become quite solid. And as I was mentioning earlier, Paul Strokes gained analysis here. Denny McCarthy is very, very, very visual. He basically ranks number two across 22 rounds for strokes gained total on this golf course. 1.82 total strokes per round gained. The thing that got me last week was all of a sudden Denny was actually hitting his approach play to better numbers. And if that continues, I could see him going really well this week. So a point each way, I got 40 to 1 with Betfred, 8 places on Denny McCarthy, who actually, across our predictor model, in this week's field, sits third for wind performances over the last 5 years. So I don't think a bit of wind's going to put him off because he's got such a great short game. Great scrambler, naturally fantastic putter. So I'm on McCarthy at 40 to 1 with Betfred again. 8 places each way via their each way extra facility. Or pick your place, I think it's known as on Betfred. My last shot is 75 to 1, so I'm going to be quiet for a couple of minutes and listen to you two. So, Paul, take it away.
Yes, I've got three others I've backed. Similar kind of position and not a dissimilar argument for your Denny McCarthy pick. And that the person I've picked in that kind of bracket is Keith Mitchell, who is still 40 to 1 out there with BetMGM as we...
The best dressed man on the PGA Tour, Cashmere Keith.
Cashmere Keith, yeah, killer Keith. If you look back, his one win came at the Honda Classic back in 2019. That was a tough course, 9 under that year. And it was blowing 20 or so on the Sunday. So he had to contend with that to get himself over the line, which he did. Got a solid record in Texas. Third at the Byron Nelson back in 2018, a couple of top 10s in Houston, 14th last week in Houston as well, and has some progressive form here over the years, 26th, 17th, 14th, and then 12th last year. He was 4th into Sunday last year. So he's improving every time he gets a chance to play this. Good in the wind, he's 8th on the predictors wind statistic this week as well, and he's not in the Masters, so something to play for Keith. I can see him going well, slightly longer. I've also backed Matt Wallace, who, well, it depends how you play him, 90 to 1 again with BetMGM, with 6 places, or around about 70s with the extended places, depends how you choose to play it. I wanted to get someone in the team who I thought would have the passion to attack this event and attempt to get into the Masters, and if there's one player who I could see fulfilling that role, then that is Matt Wallace. He's not played in the Masters for 4 years now, and I'm sure he'll be chomping at the bit to get back. And he's the kind of story who could really choose to go and attack this, because he's got that massive target in his mind. Third here back in 2021, also 4th at the Byron Nelson in Texas in 2024, so he has some Texan form. Tee to green's trending positively. It's not really showing in his results, because his headline results don't look great, and that's why we're getting the price on him. But I think his
tee to green game's sneaky.
Yes, he's moving in the right direction.
He's ensconced very solidly in my top 25.
And as I say, it has been moving forward. So I'm
sure the putter that's been holding him back. But as we just said, this isn't a putter's golf course. This is all tee to green. So it fits.
Yeah, and he does have some decent putting performances on his to his name. You know, he's twice a runner-up at the Earth Course, which is another long Greg Norman design, and Bermuda grass greens there as well. So, and I remember him putting absolute lights out there over the years. The year I was on him there, when he birded every single hole in the back nine, was just a magical couple of hours. So Yeah, but look, his form, headline form doesn't look great, but sixth after 18 holes last week, 11th after 36. So I think there's some sneaky under-the-radar form in Matt Wallace. And as I say, I think if there's one player who could passionately attack this course and this event to get himself a spot next week, he does feel like the one. And we've got one other at 150s. Which,
yeah, long shot you've got. Are you coming in here, Barry, these kind of prices?
I am. I'm in on Kashmir. I like it. Yeah. He's even just doing a couple of like strokes gained tee to green, around the green, and maxing out wind for the week. He's just jumping into the top, well into the top 10 on the predictor model. So, yeah, a lot of nice things there. Let's go. The other one I have in that kind of region is, doesn't statistically, like, in terms of the around the green and scrambling, like, really pop this week, but he's been playing some wonderful golf the last 5 weeks. So I'm going to go for, and I kind of want to just let Steve name him first without me trying to pronounce it, but Sudarshan Yellamaraju.
Let's just call him Big Yella.
Well, whatever you need to cheat the system, Steve, that's fine.
Big Yella. He is absolutely pummeling it at the moment.
Yeah, it's the on approach, he's, you know, strokes gained approach on tour this year, he's 23rd, 19th for putting, 26th for off the tee, total driving second, you know, driving distance 16th. Like, the guy is just crushing a tee to green. If he, it just seems like if he's one or two short game lessons away from being like an elite player, but just based on this, you know, what he's been doing this season. So he sits, where is it in the data golf rankings? I kind of liked this. He was at 90th, I think. Yeah, 93rd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
top 100. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's 131st in OWGR. So he's reaching to get up to that next level. So this seems like the perfect kind of week to do that.
On my trackers, he's 7th for approach, 20th for tee to, off the tee. Tee to green, he's in the top 10 at 9. And across his current form, he sits in the top 10. He's absolutely crushing it. He's Big Yella. Sudarshan Yellamaraju. I spotted him in the first podcast of the year. Only because of his name, but clearly he's a good golfer. And he's taught himself on YouTube. Madness, but true. My last tip is someone I've tipped up a couple of times this, or just in general. He's never done anything for me. But again, I actually think this is his kind of course. 4th at PGA National. Paul's referenced that with Keith Mitchell, and I think it is a relevant comp. 5th at Sedgefield. 8th and 3rd at Port Royal, which could be very, very windswept down there in Bermuda. Last year, 2nd at Sea Island at the end of the year. His best performances have all been on Bermuda grass greens to this point on the PGA Tour. He's a very nuggety sort, gains his strokes off the tee through accuracy rather than length and distance. I think... yeah, he's in the top 20 for both strokes gained on approach and tee to green across my trackers. It's always his putter that holds him back. He's not a fantastic putter. So last week, Houston, you need 50% of your... not going to happen. But on a plodder's course, a nugget, you know, a nuggety sort course, I think Max McGreevy is a decent bet this week. So I got 75-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way by their each way extra facility on Max McGreevy. I'm just going to his data golf ranking. He's 57th. So McGreevy, McCarthy, Hitsatsuni, Daniel Berger, Jordan Spieth. Those are my five this week. Paul. Apps, can I have a guess? What price are we dealing with for your longer price here?
Around 150. Depends how you play it. 125, 150.
One.
Paul's probably gone each way three places only just to get the max price.
That is a new tactic I'm coming across now, isn't it? Yeah. People backing three places each way on each and getting the bigger price on Bet365. It's interesting.
Yeah, getting some massive prices, yeah.
Is that the only? I wonder, is that the only bet they do for the week, or is that kind of like you do a split stake, you do half on that and then half on a one that's a more each way places?
Kind of like a variant of the
win only and then the max places each way split stake, which I like to do.
Yeah,
I could see you. I can't pin it down to one, Paul. I could see you going for Lee Hodges. I could see you going for Max Homer.
No, I did contemplate Max. I'll give you a clue. Barry likes to back him first round leader in Texas.
Not Bo Hosler.
Bo Hosler. Yes.
Bo Hosler.
Is that because of the good performance last week?
Big Bad Bo.
Yeah.
Paul is going to mention him losing out to Ian Poulter at the Houston Open a few years ago and not qualifying for the Masters, aren't you, Paul?
He's got unfinished business, Steve. He lost the Masters. 2018.
That's still eating him away, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
The bookies will be grateful for your donation, Paul.
It's still eating him away, Barry, that is. Bo.
Yeah, let that one go. Go on, tell us why, Bo.
8 years on, he'll be looking for some redemption. Oh yeah, he lost that playoff. He led to halfway at the Charles Schwab in 2022. He was fourth here in 2022 also. He led after 54 holes. So he does have some form here. He does have some sneaky Texas form. And as you've highlighted in the past, Barry, first round lead isn't a bad shout for Bo Hosler when he comes to a Texas course. So I'd be fascinated to see what tee time he gets tomorrow.
He did have a seriously poppy round last week, didn't he?
He did, yeah. There's been some good under the radar performances. He was ninth after 54 holes at the Cognizant. He was seventh at halfway to Puerto Rico. Four rounds in the 60s last week, tied for 21st in the end. But it was the putter, and look, the 3-inch rough does concern me a bit with Bo, as you can imagine. But if he's going to get round this course, it's likely to be with the putter, and that took a good positive stride forward last week. He gained over 6 strokes with the putter. Feels to me at 150s, he could sneak a place. So, and yeah, as I say, I'll be keeping an eye out for his tee time, because first round lead could be another market to play him in this week.
Before we go, I'm gonna sell Barry this one. Barry, listen to this. Now, this was a player that wasn't even in the field when I released my preview, but he was very, very eminent on my statistics. Now, I'll get out there quickly that his form on this course is not good. And I can't really work out why, because I think he's got the game that suits it down to the ground. Now, I'm seeing him as prices as big as 200 to 1. But if you want to get 8 places, you're looking closer to 110. You probably get 125 with Betfred, actually. Joel Damon.
That's interesting.
Nuggety. Hits fairways, hits greens, can't putt. It doesn't matter here.
There must be something in the water in San Antonio. Wow, that's not a pretty record at this
time. Yeah, I don't get that.
Miscut 75, 69, 74, and then the last 2 years, miscut. I think you need to pay attention.
He's very, very hitting the ball brilliantly at the moment.
Look, maybe there's something in just the design of the course just doesn't suit his eye. Look into Joel Damon and Greg Norman design courses and records. Maybe there's something there that doesn't suit his eye. Or maybe it's a San Antonio, Texas-y thing.
Do you think he goes to the local Hooters? Or is there something like that potentially going on?
I mean,
or is he waiting for Augusta for that?
And like, to be fair, we'd all view that as inspirational stuff, and it would improve your golf rather than detract from it. But there has to be something there.
I'm seeing on the predictor model, he's got 3 points on Norman Designs. So that's over the last 5 years. So he's clearly played well at somewhere like an El Chameleon or maybe that Mexican Open that they played down at Vedanta.
Yeah, maybe.
So it's not as if he's not disastrous on Greg Norman courses. I don't know, it's just there's literally no course fit whatsoever in terms of form, but the way that his game sets up and the way that he plays golf, he would seem like a decent bet to me. So I don't know whether I'm going to have a sneaky, tiny investment on Betfair Exchange or something. Potentially
that's,
try and
it's
trade.
It's a strange
him,
one.
It's an interesting angle for me.
He's 25. You max out Texas Positive, he's 25th. Max out Norman, he's 14th. And if I do the two of them, he is combined 17th. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But listen,
Seventh at Torrey Pines. He was 7th at Torrey Pines. He was 2nd heading into Sunday. He was 9th at the PJ National at the start of March. So it's not as if he's playing garbage, and yes, he's been blown out. He actually qualified for the signature level events because he's been playing well at Arnold Palmer. And then missed the cut at the Players. Well, we can forget about that. And he was 64th at Valspar. Now, that suits a player, really, that has got a bit of a flat stick. I know Fitzpatrick won pretty much with level strokes going putting, but you see what I'm saying. But anyway, I just thought Joel Damon, a very late entry, he interests me greatly. Misses the cut, I'm sure. But.
Yeah, not a great Florida swing, but let's...
Are we done, chaps? Are we going to start prepping for our Masters research preview that's coming out at the end of this week?
Yes, I believe so.
Good for that. Yeah.
I always find that the most enjoyable podcast probably of the whole year. Love it.
Is that because we're at a point where we haven't quite settled on our picks that we know might disappoint us for the week? So we're in the excitement phase and everything's possible. And then come Tuesday, we've put our cards on the table and that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I meant that as a good thing.
I was hoping for such good things from Brooks Koepka last week. I know that you chaps were.
I'm okay with it. This could be revisionist history on it, but just getting his head right, working on things for Augusta. Like, yeah, if he went and won that last week, whatever, but I think he's focused on getting his mental energy all on the next big prize, which is next week.
I hope so, because I'd love to see Brooks in the white heat of contention at Augusta. Wouldn't it add an extra level of interest and intrigue to it? I'd love that. But then I am a Brooks Koepka fan, so. I hope your bets go well, gentlemen.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. We will be back Thursday, I think we're going to release it. The Masters in-depth research preview pod. See you soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.